Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News Audio Edition for Thursday, June 1st, 2023. Yes, we're already in June, if you can believe that. This is Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. Audio only today, although it will be back in the studio with video tomorrow with interviews, and I've got some special stuff coming up for you. I'm going to let you in on a little inside baseball here today, shortly. The two big stories right now are, of course, the debt ceiling has been passed by the House, total sellout by McCarthy, who, by the way, was supported by Trump. So there's a big question. Hey, Trump, you told us that Kevin McCarthy was good, and now Kevin McCarthy has turned out to be just another weak, spined, cowardly, jellyfish Republican sellout, by the way. And this is the whole problem with Trump's administration and Trump's judgment. I don't have anything against Trump himself. Trump is a patriot, right? He loves America. He loves freedom. But Trump always endorses traitors. Have you noticed that? Whether it's Jeff Sessions or James Comey or Anthony Fauci, for God's sake. And yeah, I'm a little bit pissed off. Or Kevin McCarthy. Trump, Donald J. Trump, why do you keep supporting traitors? This is a bad pattern. And we, the American people, we are freaking sick of it. And it makes me question, I'll just say this publicly, it makes me question if you put Trump back in the White House right now, or, you know, in 2025, if you put him back in the White House, what's he going to do other than just bring a bunch of traitors to Washington, D.C., because that's what he does. I mean, you tell me. You tell me, am I wrong in this? Is there anyone who was in the Trump administration? I mean, maybe there are a few exceptions, but by and large, weren't they all backstabbers and traitors? And, you know, Mike Pence, are you kidding me? And Mike Pence is going to run for president. Apparently, for some reason, he thinks he has a shot at it. Talk about delusion, right? And by the way, with Republicans voting like Kevin McCarthy, you know, why should anybody support the Republican Party at this point, right? And I remember feeling the same thing right around January of 2021. It's like, hey, if the GOP won't stand up for election integrity, won't stand up and call out the obvious vote fraud that took place in the 2020 election, what good is the GOP? And I'm asking that question again right now. What good is the GOP? What good is Kevin McCarthy? And I know there are a lot of GOP members that share my opinions on this right now. There are good members in the House, by the way. There are good members of Congress. There are good senators and so on. But my God, there's a lot of traitors and sellouts. And we are out of time. We are out of time. They're going to push America into, what, $35 trillion, $36 trillion in national debt in the next 2 years? And that's if they don't have another pandemic and have another round of trillion-dollar stimulus handouts. We're probably, realistically, we're looking at, by the end of 2025, a national debt of something closer to $40 trillion. And it begins to ask the question, naturally, who's going to buy this debt? Is this at all sustainable? When does the dollar go to zero? Hyperinflation, currency collapse, the whole deal. I just don't think we make it much longer. And it's because of people like Kevin McCarthy, who, again, was endorsed by Donald J. Trump. I'm sick of it. We need Ron Paul. We need Ron Paul for president and Rand Paul as the Senate Majority Leader. There would be, you know, a pretty good combo right there. Let's just get the whole Paul family in there, because they're people with integrity who know about the true evil in this country, and Ron Paul wouldn't surround himself with a bunch of traitors. All right, so that's the first story, which we'll get into. That was just a little preview there of the anger yet to come. The second story involves World War III, which the situation is far worse now than it was 2 days ago, by the way. It looks like, well, I'll just tell you, Steve Quayle called me. And Steve Quayle had some intel, and also he was telling me about some coverage that Hal Turner was engaged in. And, you know, Hal's reporting that all the wealthy Russian elite are flying out of Moscow on their private jets and head into the Ural Mountains for their underground bunkers and everything because they're expecting a massive nuclear strike on Moscow. And Steve Quayle told me that what's actually shaping up is that as part of this massive air exercise, this military air exercise is supposed to kick off around, what, June 12th or something, that actually he thinks what NATO is planning to do is to use that air exercise as cover to launch a nuclear strike against Moscow. A preemptive nuclear strike, that is NATO nuking Moscow before anybody can react, they think. But NATO is run by idiots and lunatics and genocidal racist mass murderers, by the way. I mean, that's what characterizes the State Department right now under Biden and the Pentagon, the woke Pentagon. And what they fail to realize is that Russia right now has ICBMs that are aimed at, although, you know, it's not technically aimed, but, you know, the targeting solution already pre-coded by default into these missiles is targeting London and Washington, D.C. and New York City and you know, dozens of other targets across Western Europe and the United States. And so if there's a nuke that strikes Moscow, which is what Steve Quayle's warning about, do you realize that Russia is just going to launch everything they have? Everything. Every Poseidon, which is the underwater 100 megaton nuclear warhead drones, you know, the underwater drones, they're going to launch every ICBM. They're going to launch everything. Total thermonuclear war against the West. And London will be vaporized. Paris, vaporized. Berlin, gone. Washington, D.C., melted into glass. Okay, New York City, gone. Houston, gone. Los Angeles, you name it. Chicago, gone. Okay, this is what Joe Biden and the insane lunatic NATO so-called leaders are risking. They think they can nuke Moscow and get away with it. They think they can intimidate Putin into backing off by launching a preemptive nuclear strike against Moscow. And they're willing to gamble all of our lives to see if they're right about this, because they're insane. And at the same time, you know, Kevin McCarthy and all the Democrats, by the way, and a lot of Republicans. What was the vote? Let's see. 149 Republicans voted for the total debt destruction of the United States of America. That's 149 Republicans voted for it. Only 71 opposed it. Think about that. They're going to destroy the dollar. They're going to destroy the republic. Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans just voted for national financial suicide, while Biden is trying to get Russia to nuke the United States. Do you realize the dire straits that we are in right now? Do you realize it? And do you realize that we're being led by idiots and complete morons and madmen and lunatics and spineless jellyfish that are known as Republicans that are leading us to the total destruction of the Western world as we know it on this planet? Do you realize we might be less than 2 weeks away from the annihilation of Western culture, of every major Western city being wiped off the map of the face of this earth forever? No coming back from that, because Russia has enough nuclear weapons to completely destroy the West, and Biden is trying to put Russia into a position where they are forced to launch, and he's doing it on purpose, because again, we're being led by, you know, demons, satanic demons that are at war with humanity. CNBC now reporting drones attack Russian oil refineries. So NATO-controlled drones through Ukraine are going after Russia's infrastructure. And Germany closes Russian consulates in retaliatory move. And then you have this National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby, one of the most malicious liars to ever hold a position saying, quote, the Russians have shown no inclination of being interested at all in a negotiated settlement. I think this week you've all seen Russia has continued to wage just a brutal, completely unprovoked war against Ukraine. Unprovoked? Unprovoked? My God. As if he's pretending that none of us know what happened from the year 2014 and what happened in the Donbass region and the U.S. putting in place a puppet regime of Zelensky and then the U.S. building bioweapons laboratories to have ethnic targeted weapons to destroy the Russian people, and then the United States moving and expanding NATO and moving weapons closer and closer to Russia's borders. I mean, talk about provoking Russia or violating the Minsk agreement, which is what NATO and the West have done. Talk about provoking Russia. That's the West has done nothing but provoke Russia for the last at least 9 years, if not longer. But Kirby just wants to sit there and lie because he's a traitor. He's a traitor. Like all these other people, like McCarthy is a traitor who just want to see America destroyed, and they don't care if they have to lie and commit fraud and push propaganda, whatever it takes. They are criminal traitors, in my opinion, and they should all be arrested and prosecuted for their crimes against this nation, along with Mayorkas, by the way, who has this wide open border. I had Michael Yon texting me about an hour ago. He said, we have no border. It's done. The border's gone. The government soldiers and State Department employees are just marching the illegals right through. They're opening up the fences. They're cutting the barbed wire. I'm talking about the American government is cutting the wires and letting the illegals flood through. It's an invasion. It's all being done on purpose. Michael Yon is on the scene, and he's, you know, he's telling me all this. Nobody in Washington gives a crap. Nobody cares. Well, almost nobody. I know that Congressman Chip Roy cares. He's been trying to sound the alarm on a lot of this. Yeah, there's some people who care. But, I mean, by and large, the government doesn't care at all. And here I am, like you, just trying to not lose my country, right? Trying to not lose the human race. Trying to keep humanity alive. Trying to do what's right. Trying to save lives, you know, from the vaccine genocide. You know, covered Jamie Foxx yesterday. That opened a lot of people's eyes right there. And some people say, no, Jamie Foxx is fine. No, he isn't. If he's fine, he would already be filming videos. Jamie Foxx is not fine. Jamie Foxx is, at least the Jamie Foxx you knew, is no longer present, sadly. You're going to find out real soon. Or they'll roll out, you know, like an AI. Probably that's what they'll do. They'll reanimate the image and voice of Jamie Foxx. You know, it'll be like a ChatGPT robot version of Jamie Foxx that will be in movies for the next 30 years and never age. And some stupid people will think that's really Jamie Foxx. No, it isn't. The real Jamie Foxx had his brain destroyed by the vaccine, folks. Some of you know that, but a lot of people haven't yet figured it out. But here I am. I'm just trying to do what's right for humanity, trying to help save this country, trying to help save the human race, trying to defeat evil, stand up for truth, tell the truth, to act with morals and ethics and do what's right and help end human suffering and teach people about nutrition and so on. And of course, people like myself are just blacklisted and censored everywhere because truth is treason in an age of lies, right? In an era of lies and deception. And I feel sorry for Hollywood celebrities right now. I feel sorry for celebrities because I know that if you're a famous person, everybody asks you for something. In fact, I feel sorry for celebrities and I feel sorry for wealthy people, like known billionaires. And the reason I feel this is because everybody in the world is asking me for something right now, for whatever reason. Everybody wants something from me. You know, everybody wants me to do this, do that, look at this, look at that. You know, partner with this, promote that, you know, review this, research that, publish this, do this video, whatever. And I'm thinking that what I go through is nothing compared to what a Hollywood celebrity goes through, like Jamie Foxx. Or, you know, take somebody like, who's a good actor that I grew up with, Mel Gibson, for example. Mel Gibson's a great actor, right? Mel Gibson, I think, is a great guy. And can you imagine how many people are asking Mel Gibson to do something for them all the time? All the time. Hey, Mel, you need to speak out for this. Hey, Mel, you need to donate money to this other thing. Hey, Mel, you need to, you need to speak out against this thing. You need to speak in favor of this thing. You need to do this fundraiser. You need to show up here and do this and that. And, you know, I can imagine that Mel Gibson or any other A-list Hollywood person is just, you know, completely fed up with all the damn requests, frankly. It's like, for God's sake, let me just buy my groceries, you know, right? Let me just walk down the sidewalk like a normal person. And I'm not even very famous, and I already feel a little bit of that myself. That's why I feel sorry for really famous people. And this is also why, by the way, over the years, you know, a couple of A-list Hollywood people I have a friendship with some of them who shall never be named, because we have similar experiences. And, you know, there are people whose trust I've earned, and you would recognize their names, but I won't ever say their names because privacy is the currency that matters in this space. And I protect their privacy, and sometimes they ask me nutrition questions for themselves or a family member or whatever. And we share a lot of things. It's not Mel Gibson, by the way. I was just using that name because he's an actor that I have admired over the years, but it's not Mel Gibson. I'm just saying that being a famous person puts you in a position of such incredible pressure from society that it's no wonder that you see so many really famous actors turn to drugs or substance abuse or addictions or in some cases suicide or what have you. It's no wonder. The pressures are almost unimaginable. Now, let's talk about billionaires here for a second too, because if you're a billionaire, then everybody thinks that they know what you should do with your money. Everybody in the world thinks that it's like this. It's like people who will never become billionaires think they know how billionaires should disperse their funds. Now, if you're a billionaire and you actually earned it, which, you know, some of the billionaires that I know, they literally earned their money. It wasn't given to them, right? But if you're a billionaire who earned your money, you know something about earning money and saving money and not just, you know, wasting it or throwing it around. You're probably fiscally quite conservative if you were able to run a successful business or whatever you were able to do. And yet, the people who want money from you, most of them have never run a business. Most of them don't know how money works. And so they're just, everybody's asking for money all the time from billionaires. It's like, oh, you need to support, you know, this mission. You need to help these people. You need to, you know, give money to these refugees. You need to invest in this invention, this and that. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it drive you nuts if you were a billionaire and everybody in the world, all they wanted you for was your money? And it would be impossible to have a normal relationship with anybody other than somebody else who knew how to handle money. And by the way, this is why I'm also friends with a few billionaires, because I never asked them for money, because I don't talk to them about, oh, give me money. No, that's never part of the conversation. Never has been. And because I know what it means to earn it. I know how hard it is to earn it. I know how hard it is to put it to good use when you can. And this is why wealthy people trust me with their money. This is why one wealthy Texas billionaire, you know, handed me $500,000 and said, look, you need to distribute this through grant programs in your nonprofit to various alternative media, you know, outlets that are doing good work. And we did. We did it together. We made a list. This billionaire approved the list. And by the way, I'm still waiting for this person to reply to my request for permission to release his name. See, I honor that too. I'm not just tossing his name out there unless I get an okay from him and he hasn't replied yet. But he trusted me with his money because he knew that I was going to put it into a useful location of where it can do the most good in fighting for freedom and America and humanity and life and all of those things. So there's a lot of alternative media outlets out there that just got $10,000, $20,000, $25,000. And you'll hear from some of them, maybe most of them at some point, but some of them are already talking about it. And some of them actually called us back and like, oh my gosh, I got this check for $20,000. Is it a mistake? Literally, one of them called me back. Is it a mistake? No, it's not a mistake. I think that was a $20,000 check. Is it not a mistake? Cash it. That's for you. That's to support you and your effort because you're a truth teller. You know, you're a shining light of truth and courage for this country. So there are good people in America who have money, by the way. There are people trying to do the right thing. I'm one of them who's trying to do the right thing. I'm not a billionaire, but I know billionaires, and some of them are very good people trying to help. And I feel a sense, I feel a little bit of pity for them because I know what it's like to everybody in the world coming to them asking for money. Everybody. And by the way, can you imagine being Melinda Gates? Like you're worth hundreds of billions of dollars and everybody in the world wants a chunk of your money. And the only reason people even want to be around you is because of your money. Like no one will ever be a genuine friend of Melinda Gates. She can't engage in an actual friendship. The only way she could, technically, is to give away all her money and be worth nothing and then open it up like, hey, who still wants to be my friend? And she would find out nobody wants to be your friend, Melinda. You don't have any money. Nobody wants to be your friend, you see, because most people are shallow. Most people are shallow. You can't know your true friends until you're broke. And for those of you out there who are broke, you should value the fact that you still have friends and you know they're real. Or that you have a spouse if you're married and you know that's real because you're broke. If you had money, you wouldn't be able to know if it's true or not, you see? But since you're broke, well, it must be something other than money. Maybe you have a good personality. That is actually more important. But I did have one person come to me not long ago, said, oh, I need to donate money to this, it was this African group of people fleeing, refugees, they need financial help, only a little bit of money. And like, I don't know if this is some Nigerian scam or something, like, oh yeah, send me $500,000 and the third cousin of the king will release $200 million and we'll share it with you, right? The old Nigerian email scam. So I don't know what this is. So I told the person, I said, look, the thing that we can do to help the most people in this world today, to end suffering among the most people, is not to hand one person a check or send one person free money, but to support freedom for all of humanity, support free markets, end the Fed, end the money printing, which is theft from everyone, support health freedom, support information freedom, freedom of speech. These are the ways that we help the most people across the board. We don't have to give them money. We just have to help deliver them into a world of freedom. From freedom, if you truly live in a free society, everyone can achieve wealth through hard work and savings, because then, you know, the money's not losing value every day because of the runaway money printing and debt fiasco by the Federal Reserve and Kevin McCarthy and others. I mean, imagine if we had honest money, there'd be a lot fewer people suffering in the world. So the best way that we can help others is not to just give them fiat currency, but to support freedom, to fight for freedom every day. And that's what I do. So if anybody comes to me and is asking for money, oh, I, you know, here, give me $100,000 for this. How about this? I've dedicated my life to defending your freedom. That is the greatest gift that you're ever going to get from me, by the way. And why don't you join me in that fight and we can help others together? How about that? Let's do that. And some people do. Now, another thing worth mentioning here, and I'll get back to the regular news. I'm sorry to to carry on here. But I've never understood the shallow nature of people who are enamored with celebrities just because they're in movies in the first place. Never made any sense to me. Oh, okay, so someone's in a bunch of movies. So what? Like, oh, don't you want to meet him? Don't you want to meet? No. Who cares? That's their chosen profession. They're an actor. It's actually a horrible profession. Can you imagine spending your life being forced to say things that someone else wrote? Can you imagine? I mean, what? I mean, for me, that would feel like being a prisoner. I mean, when I speak here, I get to speak my own words and my own thoughts, right? And if I were in a movie, it would have to be ad-lib, have to be like ad-lib comedy or something, right? Because I'm not going to follow somebody else's script. Can you imagine being an actor and then you have to read this script and it's like, this is what you must say. And as an actor, you must be thinking, well, what if I don't believe that? Too bad. If you want to get paid, you must say these things and you must do these things and you must be in this, you know, kissing scene or whatever. That sounds like hell to me. I would never choose acting as a career, and I feel sorry for anybody who does. I mean, anybody. That's a very difficult career. I don't know why the average person is so enamored with somebody just because they chose an acting career. It never made sense to me. I am much more impressed by people who speak their own words from their own heart, from their own minds. I don't need to worship an actor with a script. How about we honor a human being with a heart? Huh? How about that? That's way more impressive to me. And I know that sometimes there are actors who have made that transition, like a former actor who's now a truth teller, right? Let's say Rob Schneider, for example, you know, former Saturday Night Live actor, and, you know, he was in a lot of Adam Sandler movies and so on. Now a truth teller. And he's been on stage with the Reawaken America tour, the Clay Clark events and so on. I honor Rob Schneider today for who he is today, not his acting career. I could care less about his acting career. What I care about is what he's sharing today from his heart and his mind, a truth teller, a man of courage, a man of principle. That's way more impressive to me than performing a script. I mean, can you imagine being an actor and someone comes up to you and says, oh, you're such a great actor. You know what they're saying? They're saying you're really good at faking like you're authentic. Really, that's what acting is. You're faking it. And I'm sorry, I'm not impressed. That doesn't do anything for me. I'm more interested in truly authentic people, not people who are acting like they're something. The world's full of actors, but there are very few authentic human beings who are driven by mission and principle and courage. That's what's rare. All right, let's shift focus here and get into some news headlines, and we'll bring it back to the debt ceiling and so on. But let's do this one first. Major grocery chain struggles to survive amid wave of thefts. This is a headline from Zero Hedge. A grocery retail chain, which operates primarily on the East Coast, says it's taking measures to stay in business amid rampant retail theft. So the company is called Giant Food. 160 locations across D.C., Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia has begun restricting entry and exit points, beefing up store security, some of which are armed. Okay, now, does any of this ring a bell, by the way? Because you heard this prediction from my mouth here on this podcast in the previous months. I said this is exactly what's going to happen. Continuing. Displaying fewer higher-dollar items on shelves and reducing the number of self-checkout items, company CEO Ira Kress told the Washington Post. Retail theft, says Kress, has increased, quote, tenfold in the last 5 years. Yeah, tenfold in 5 years. The last thing I want to do is close stores, he said, but I've got to be able to run them safely and profitably. He says that the nature of shoplifting has changed such that more and more retailers are simply allowing it. Well, we used to chase shoplifters, he says, and you'd get the product back and nobody would ever fight you. I didn't worry about somebody pulling a knife or a gun on me 40 years ago. But now, you know, it's different. Now we're seeing the highest level of organized retail crime and theft ever. And he said, it's escalating. Now it's Tide and Dove. Like, people are stealing soap, okay? And razor blades and Olay, which is crap soap, or roasts or shrimp or crab legs. Can you imagine being a crab leg thief? Like, what do you do for a living? Steal crab legs. Oh, so you're a fisherman? No, steal them out of a grocery store. Oh, you don't steal them from the ocean. No, steal them from the grocery store. I'm just joking about the fisherman there. No, that's honest hard work, by the way. Fishing in the ocean, that's honest hard work. But stealing crab legs out of grocery stores, that's just theft and looting. So, as I said before, what's going to happen is the grocery stores will be turned into kind of little, almost like high-security prison centers. There will be only a certain number of people allowed in the store at any one time. And there'll be armed security guards at the stores, especially at the front entrance. And then, by the way, we're going to have rationing. On top of all that, you know, kind of a related topic, but you're going to have CBDCs, limits on what you can buy, especially meat, because, you know, meat, they'll say, is bad for the climate. And in order to fight the climate, they have to starve you to death. So you're not going to be able to buy the food you want. You're not even going to be able to get into the grocery store on the timeline you want, because they won't let more people in order to stop flash mob thefts from occurring, right? But ultimately, where this is going, and I talked about this, what, 2 days ago, I think? Ultimately, they're going to close the grocery stores in a lot of these Democrat-controlled cities. I mean, this was on my list. No, I guess it was Monday. The nine trends of the death of the American city, the nine trends. One of those trends was the closing of retail outlets, which is already happening, and then leading to the closing of grocery stores, creating food deserts in these cities. So people will have nowhere to go to get food or to get basic supplies like toilet paper. So what's going to happen next? Well, they're just going to start stealing food from anywhere they can get it. You know, households, convenience stores, or whatever. And ultimately, these cities will just be gutted. And that's how you're going to get refugees fleeing the cities and heading out into the suburbs and rural areas. But isn't it interesting that just days after I made that prediction that, you know, here it is reported by the Washington Post once again. Now, in addition to controlling your food, of course, they're going to try to control your money. And in order to do that, of course, the governments of the world, they hate crypto. And they really hate privacy coins or digital money that's private. And here's a story out of CoinGape.com. Breaking: Binance to disable privacy coins in France. So Binance, you know, one of the big exchanges where you can buy and sell crypto, is disabling Dash, XMR, which is Monero, ZEC, which is Zcash, and what else? Oh, those are the three that are mentioned. Monero, Zcash, and Dash. Okay. They're going to be disabled in France because the French government doesn't want privacy coins to be used. Why? Because they can't track what you're using them for. See, privacy coins protect your privacy. No one knows how much you have. No one knows how much you received. No one knows where you spent it or how much you spent or where you donated it to, where you sent it to. Nobody knows. And this is why I've been talking about privacy-oriented crypto, such as Epic Cash or Monero. And in order to buy and sell these privacy coins, since you won't be able to use Binance in France, you're going to have to, I mean, there's a workaround. It's very simple. I'll tell you about it right now. And I think this is how all the privacy coins are going to work, because I think even in the US, they'll probably crack down on the privacy coins in the exchanges. But they can't stop them in individuals' wallets. They can't stop them. And frankly, they can't technically outlaw individuals from sending them or receiving them or using them. So what they're going to do is just try to ban them in the exchanges, which is what's happening here with Binance. So the answer to this is a non-European, non-US coin exchange where you could trade Bitcoin for other privacy coins. And I've mentioned this the other day, but one that I have learned about and that I like is called changenow.io. Change Now. And the reason I like Change Now is because they're the first exchange that's going to support Epic Cash, which is, on my scoring sheet, the highest rated privacy-oriented cryptocurrency. And yes, I own Epic Cash. I have some of those coins, and I have Monero, and I have Zcash. And I am moving, I've said this like 10 times, I'm moving my savings out of the fiat currency banks into gold and silver and crypto. I'm doing that. I'm totally public about it. And you can buy Bitcoin through Binance or Kraken or Gemini or Coinbase or whatever. You know, you can buy Bitcoin, and then you just use changenow.io to swap Bitcoin for Monero or swap Bitcoin for Epic coming up here in about maybe 10 days or so, or swap Bitcoin for Dash or Zcash or whatever else you want. That's how everybody's going to use this, because the exchanges will always have to comply with local governments, and local governments, because they want to keep printing money into oblivion, they do not want anybody to have money that the government can't confiscate. And they especially don't want people to have money where they can't track what you're doing with it. Because, oh my God, if that were to happen, people might, you know, support the trucker convoy. Or people might donate to Trump or something. Oh, can't have that happen. Or people might have money that we just can't confiscate. You know, can't allow that. So every government in the world is going to try to crack down on crypto and try to crack down on privacy coins, but they won't be able to very much because, well, cryptocurrency is peer-to-peer. It's decentralized. And if you have privacy coins, then they don't even know how much you have. They don't even know. And you can take your wallet with you just by memorizing the seed phrase words. Remember me talking about that? For most wallets, including the Epic Cash wallet or the Monero wallet or other wallets, you get a seed phrase. It's like 20 to 24 words. It's like, you know, monkey and boomerang and giraffe and raccoon and whatever. And if you can remember these 24 words in the proper sequence, and there are ways to do that, by the way, then that's your wallet. Like, you have that in your head. You can go anywhere. You can install the software, type in those 24 words, and Shazam, your full balance is available to you, and you have total control over it, which means that you can carry your assets with you in your mind, and no government can confiscate it from you because it exists in your mind. And, you know, until you load up the wallet, and now it exists on the blockchain. And you can trade it for Bitcoin, and you can use Bitcoin, you can push Bitcoin back into fiat currency if you want, or you can use it to buy gold or silver or goods or whatever. Oh, and of course, by the way, healthrangerstore.com soon will accept Epic Cash and Monero, especially those two, as privacy coins for purchases. Yeah, that's coming up real soon. Probably within, I'm guessing within 2 weeks, maybe three. Certainly within the month of June, you'll be able to buy with privacy cryptocurrencies at healthrangerstore.com, which is great because then no government can track what you're buying or that you've even made a purchase. You know, because they want to outlaw vitamin C or limit your food purchases as part of the rationing program to starve you out. So isn't it good to have privacy with your money? Now, this is especially critical because, getting back to the original story here, the debt ceiling. So the U.S. debt ceiling being raised, this means that they've thrown in the towel, essentially. They've given up on ever balancing the budget. That's never going to happen again. Instead, the United States of America is going to implode under a debt collapse. And if you think about it, every dollar that comes into existence is an instrument of debt. From the moment the Treasury has it, it's already owed to the Federal Reserve, which is a globalist private banking cartel, not even owned by the government or the people. It's a private banking cartel. So every dollar that comes into existence is an instrument of debt. Whereas with cryptocurrency, every coin that comes into existence, typically through mining, is not an instrument of debt, but rather an instrument of value. It's an instrument of value. So think about this. In the long run, which monetary system is actually going to do better? Would it be a monetary system based on nothing but debt, where you can never pay off the debts, and they just keep printing money into oblivion? Another trillion here, another trillion there, you know, until the units become worthless. Is that going to be sustainable? Or Would you rather have a monetary system based on units of value that have a limited supply, mathematically, algorithmically limited, where no government can come along and just say, let's just throw another trillion into there. And no government can come along and just say, give it to us. We're just going to take it. See, cryptocurrency is actually superior money compared to fiat currency. There's no comparison. Fiat will die. Cryptocurrency being decentralized, and especially, again, the privacy-oriented coins, is holographic. It's everywhere but nowhere. It can be reseeded from anywhere, and you can carry it in your mind. I mean, these are extraordinary properties that have never existed in the history of humanity in terms of money, and governments are panicked trying to figure out how to deal with this stuff, which is why France tries to ban privacy coins in the exchanges. Well, good luck. Not going to work, France. Another tyrannical authoritarian regime. and the UK, of course. Not going to work, France, because people will just go to changenow.io, which is based out of who knows where, some other jurisdiction, not even in Europe. And they're just going to swap Bitcoin for the privacy coins. And then they're going to hold those privately in their private wallets. And then they have money that the French government can't even find. Can't even see it. Doesn't even know it exists. I tell you this, when the dollar collapses, you don't want to be left holding the dollar bag. You don't want to be looking at your bank account. How many dollars do I have? And, the person next to you is like, what's the point? They're all worthless anyway. Look, my dollars are still there. Yeah, but they're worthless. Who cares? You want to have something that still has value, which is why I've mentioned year after year after year, gold and silver and land. And, by the way, if you need money that you can take with you without asking for permission, money that you can actually put in your mind and then restore it wherever you get to your destination, money that the government can't find, can't confiscate, can't track, well, that's private digital money, privacy-oriented cryptocurrency. That's what that is. And again, this is why I'm an advocate of Epic Cash and also to some extent Monero, although I think Epic is, well, there's no question Epic is technically superior because of the Mimblewimble blockchain, but I'll talk about that another day, give you more details on that. But they're both very useful coins, by the way, very useful. Much better than Zcash because Zcash doesn't operate in privacy mode most of the time. So most Zcash is just public blockchain, kind of like Bitcoin. But the federal government is so corrupt and run by such imbeciles, they literally think they could just print trillions forever and that nothing bad will happen and that there will always be a buyer for the new debt. Oh, they'll just sell trillions this week and next week and over here and over there. Guess what? There aren't going to be global buyers much longer. Who's going to want to buy a currency that's going to zero? I mean, seriously, who's going to buy the treasuries? Are the Saudis going to buy the treasuries? No. Saudis are doing deals with China. Is China going to buy the treasuries? No. Why would they? Why would they support their strategic enemy? Is Japan going to buy the treasuries? Japan has its own yen problems and Japanese central bank problems. Who's going to buy the treasuries? Who's going to buy the dollar debt? Will it be the UK? Not if they're nuked by Russia. There won't even be a London. Who's going to buy the treasuries? Nobody. At some point, nobody's going to buy the treasuries. So what then? You're going to have a total cascading debt collapse that will bring down the entire Western financial system. And when that day comes, in my opinion, this is my assessment, of course, you want to be holding gold and silver and crypto. You don't want to be holding dollars because they'll be gone, useless, valueless. Even if you're holding coins, it's going to be worthless. We'll call them McCarthy coins. How much is those McCarthy coins worth? Zero, just like McCarthy himself, valueless. Has no values. Useless. Yeah, it's not even worth a penny. Do you realize that if the whole food supply chain were priced in cryptocurrency, there wouldn't be any inflation in food? Did you know that? The only reason food is getting more expensive is because it's priced in dollars, and the dollars are becoming worthless. But what if we priced all food in, let's just say, Bitcoin? This is the most common cryptocurrency. Then, you know, a loaf of bread is, you know, 0.000 whatever, one Bitcoins. It would be a lot more stable in Bitcoin than it would be in dollars. And even hearing myself say this, I'm a little bit shocked, because I wouldn't have said this, you know, 3 years ago, or certainly 5 years ago. I would not have said that. I would have said that Bitcoin is way more volatile than dollars. That's not true anymore, folks. And we have to adjust with the reality of the times. The dollar is volatile. Cryptocurrency actually is a better store of value than fiat currencies at this point, and I think forevermore. And I think that if we can create supply chains that are priced in crypto, they will be more stable and less volatile overall. Although there, you know, I mean, there'll be some volatility always, you know. Bad weather can, you know, crush crops and cause price spikes and so on. But I mean, compared to the dollar, the volatility will be a lot less. The dollar, you can count on it losing value every day. There is a 100% chance that your dollars are going to be worthless. That's a certainty, 100%. In fact, there is a 100% chance that every dollar you hold right now will be worth less next month than it was this month or right now. That is a certainty. It's not even price risk, like, oh, it might go up and it might go down. No, it's going down. You can count on it. You can bank on it, Betty. It's going down. There's no scenario in which dollars become more valuable as long as they keep printing trillions. You know, in order for dollars to become more valuable, you'd have to have deflation, which would normally involve contracting the money supply. And that's not happening. It's not going to happen. They're going to expand it. They're going to print into oblivion, hyperinflation, blowout. It's done. That's where this is headed. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could just buy reliable food credits right now that you know are good for a certain amount of food, but it was also a decentralized peer-to-peer system so that no one could take it from you? It had full privacy. Now, you know, I interviewed the folks from that farm in Oregon, and they sell the Mula coin, which is really kind of like, you know, in-store credit, basically. And one Mula coin is equal to, I think it was half a gallon of milk from their, you know, fresh milk farm. They serve thousands of families. A great couple that I interviewed there about that. So they have the Mula coin. I like the way they think, because you buy the Mula coin and it's always equal to half a gallon of milk. What if we could buy food credits right now in some kind of cryptocurrency, like one credit was always worth a loaf of bread or something, right? And you could stock up on the crypto now in order to know that you would be able to purchase X number of loaves of bread in the future, and that that would never be taken away from you. Or, you know, X number of pounds of ground beef or whatever it is that you want to buy, X number of bags of potato chips. Whereas right now, if you earn dollars and you pay taxes on dollars and you put dollars in the bank, you have no idea what that's going to buy down the road. You put away $100 right now and you think, oh, that's going to buy groceries for 1 week. You know, next year, it's groceries for 2 days. You see what I mean? And this is already happening. You've already seen this. Dollars can't be counted on. So you don't even know how many you're going to need in the future, which makes it impossible to engage in rational financial planning, because you're planning in a currency that's a ripoff, where they keep printing trillions, which is confiscating value from you. They're stealing from you every single day. This is why I'm exiting the whole damn system, folks. I'm getting out of that system and I'm putting it into things that hold value: gold and silver and crypto. And I don't care about gold's volatility against the dollar. The dollar is going to zero. Gold's going to be worth millions of dollars, you know, per ounce at one point when the dollar goes close to zero. You know, I took a tour of the Central Bank of Ecuador in Quito. And that was a fascinating tour. I told you about this before, where they have this one display on the wall. It's a giant aquarium filled with coins, coins that have since been abandoned in the hyperinflation of Ecuador before Ecuador switched over to the US dollar, which will also end catastrophically, by the way. But there's a question there on the walls, like, can you guess, you know, what's the modern day value of all this money in this giant aquarium filled with coins, right? And I forgot the exact answer, but it's something like, it's worth a quarter, you know? Or it's worth a dollar. That's it. It's valueless, basically. All the coins, you know, probably thousands of pounds of coins, is worth nothing. That's where the dollar is going. So if you have a bunch of dollars, you think you're going to be able to trade it for food down the road, you're not. It's going to be worthless. Hey, did you ever wonder why a spider doesn't get caught in its own web? You know, I like to observe spiders and the intricacy of their webs. So, you know, spiders build webs out of spokes, which are non-sticky strands that are structurally very strong. And then between the spokes, they weave the sticky thin strands that are the strands that catch insects. And when spiders navigate their webs, they navigate among the spokes, so they don't get caught in the sticky webs. You see? Because, you know, if you're a spider, you don't want to get all caught up in your sticky webs, right? So central banks buy gold, but they convince people to use fiat currency. Central banks buy gold because those are the spokes of the economy. They want to be able to move up and down the spokes and maneuver and capture their prey and suck the blood out of their prey, which is you and me. We are the prey, and so they use the sticky fiat currency strands for everybody else. Here, you use these and get stuck. But they're navigating on the golden spokes, you see. Central banks are like spiders. They are predators. They set traps, and if you use dollars, you get caught in the trap. There are all kinds of different predators in that trap system. You know, the IRS and the central banks and the you know, J.P. Morgan and whatever. All a bunch of spiders, all a bunch of predators. The thing is, you don't need to hang out on the spider web. You can leap off that whole thing and go over to cryptocurrency, digital money, where you're in control. Now, you're not, you know, a fly in a spider web. Now, like, I don't know, you're the iguana eating the spider, or whatever metaphor you want to use. I don't know if you want to be an iguana or what, but you don't have to play in their spider web. That's the point. You don't have to play in it. You can just get out of it just by going to assets that you control that hold value. See? It's very simple. But, you know, some people, they don't want to leave the spider web because it's all they know. It's, you know, it's just familiar. It's so comfortable and familiar being stuck in the spider web and having all the blood sucked out of me, they will say. You know, a spider comes along and sucks a little blood every April. And then when you just stay stuck in the web for the rest of the year, I don't know. Some people just like to be stuck. It's familiar territory to them. Other people, pioneers, would rather not be slaves in a slave system. And they say, no, let's just leave that system. Let's find new human freedom. And here's how we do it, is we exit this system. And by the way, with Kevin McCarthy and the Rhino Republicans passing this debt ceiling, if you are not now exiting this system, you're insane. I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it. If you have any faith whatsoever in the future of the dollar, you're an idiot. You're an oblivious moron to think that the dollar is going to hold value. You'd have to be delusional. You know, you'd have to think that men could have babies or something, and the dollar is going to hold value. Wow. Guess what? Wrong on both counts. No ovaries, no store of value. And if you dare think that the government's going to come along and help you out and bail you out, and help the people? Oh my God, is delusional beyond repair. No. The government's run by criminals. They're going to cover themselves, and they're going to screw everybody else, as has happened again and again throughout history and is happening right now. Kevin McCarthy, he's the spider. Oh yeah, he's got his own gold, I'm sure, socked away somewhere. But he's weaving the web for you and me. Oh, get stuck in the sticky strands. So that they can take more money from you and exercise their power while they pretend to be two different political parties, the Republicans and the demon rats. No, it's all one party, folks. It's the uniparty of cartel members, crooks, fraudsters, and criminals. That's all it is. Same party, and it's all going to end the same. It's going to end with a total collapse of the dollar and the collapse of the United States of America as we know it. And that's it. It's done. Okay? It's locked in at this point. The bottom line here today, folks, is that with the passing of this debt ceiling increase, McCarthy and the Republicans and all the Democrats who voted for this and Biden and all the rest, they've just declared that they hate America and they want to see it crash and burn, because it's exactly where it's going to go. It's going to crash and burn. There's no question about how this ends. It ends with the collapse of the currency, and they're just guaranteeing it every single day. So those of us who don't want to be victimized or caught in the sticky spider web, of course, we need to plan accordingly. We need to plan for the fact that we're living in a world surrounded by power-hungry lunatic morons who are all wearing a financial suicide vest, running around pulling the strings, you know, pulling the detonators. Just try not to be in the blast radius, basically, is where we are right now. Try not to be in the blast radius, and that's why it's good to get out of fiat currency. And the blast radius is also going to include, of course, you know, collapsing cities, which is going to lead to kinetic violence, gang violence, you know, mass looting, and so on. So you can't insulate yourself from everything, but you do the best you can, and that's what I'm dedicated to sharing here in this podcast. Every day is at least some element of practical knowledge that you can use to avoid the worst case scenario that will impact the oblivious masses who have no clue what's going on. You know, the people who took the jabs, no clue. The people who have all their money in the stock market or all their money in the banks, all their money in fiat currency, they're all relying on pensions, right? And that's all they have. Man, it's going to be a tough situation for those folks. I feel sorry for them and hope that more of them can become aware and get prepared. Bottom line, it's going to get interesting. May you live in interesting times. That's a curse, by the way. And we're all living through that curse right now. So look, on a practical note, expect the dollar to collapse. Expect the banking system to collapse. Expect World War III. Expect a nuclear exchange. Expect the worst case, because that's what these lunatics in charge are driving us toward on purpose. And if we don't get the worst case, then, you know, we can breathe a sigh of relief. But you should expect it and plan for it. All right, sorry, I don't have any more positive news for you today, perhaps tomorrow, but thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.